Psalm 67, I'll read the entire psalm, beginning at the first verse. This is God's holy word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. So reads the holy word of God. Well, friends, this morning as we looked at 3 John, especially verse 2, we looked at John's prayer for prosperity, for the blessing and well-being of his beloved friend Gaius. Last weekend at the Winterlude Youth Retreat, the focus was on missions. And really, both those subjects come together. So I was considering them this past week. Both those subjects come together, those topics or themes, come together in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. We are a very blessed people. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And even as we read these words, we have to acknowledge that we are a very blessed people. Sometimes we tend, don't we, to miss the forest of blessing because we are too focused on the trees of trouble in our life. But we're a very blessed people. David put it this way, my cup overflows. And that wasn't merely a personal testimony. That is the testimony of every child of God, if we see things rightly, biblically. We're blessed, but have you ever wondered why God has blessed us? What is the purpose for his blessing you in all kinds of ways in your life? Well, the ultimate answer to a question like that is because he wants to do that. God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, the Bible tells us, according to the good pleasure of his will. Sometimes when our kids keep asking questions and they ask the why question and we give an answer and then they ask another question and we try to give another answer, why? There's an old series, television series called The Prisoner. He's a secret agent and he's trapped in this place and they're trying to get information from him. And in one episode, there's a computer that they've tried to build that will know everything, can answer every question. And so he says, may I type a question? And he types it on the paper and then he feeds it into the computer and the computer starts to smoke. And the lights start to flash and the whole thing blows up. And the man who built the machine says, what question did you ask? And he said, three letters, W-H-Y. Why? Why? And ultimately, we're forced, when we consider the why question for any issue of life, to the sovereign good pleasure of God, because he is God, and he does all his holy will. His sovereign good pleasure lies behind all his actions. We also know that God does what he does for his own glory, the expression of his own glory. Paul says in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And so those are the big answers to the question of why has God blessed you? But in Psalm 67, we have a specific reason pointed out to us that answers in part the question of why God blesses his people. God blesses his people so that the world may know him. The blessing of God, we see in Psalm 67, is directly linked to the witness of the church, to missions, and to evangelism. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us that, so that, in order that, there's a Hebrew preposition there, unto this purpose, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. What a helpful passage this is. As we think of the question, why has God blessed me? Why do I have all these blessings in my life from God? Let's consider a few main points from these, especially these opening verses of Psalm 67. First, notice the corporate aspect of this prayer and this psalm. Three times in the first verse, may God be gracious to us, and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. Three times it is us and not me. It's plural and not singular. This is important to remember as the people of God, that we are part of the church, we are part of the body, and God blesses us. We have the tendency to think first and foremost of God blessing me. And we are blessed individually. But the psalm here is a corporate prayer that God would bless us and make his face shine upon us. And when we remember that corporate aspect of the blessing of God, it helps in at least two ways. It is a cure to covetousness. It is a cure to covetousness because Lord, bless us. Our blessings are my blessings. The blessings of the people of God corporately are my blessings as well. We are to mourn with those who mourn, but we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. That when we see part of the church blessed, we are part of that same church, and that blessing is my blessing. But seeing the corporate aspect as well should be an encouragement to generosity when we put it just the other way. My blessings are our blessings. My blessings are our blessings. That we are part of this body. And if my mouth gets fed, boys and girls, as part of my body, it benefits my toes. It goes all the way through. If I'm blessed in one part of my body, my whole body experiences that blessing. And likewise in the church, when we remember this prayer for corporate blessing, the experience of corporate blessing, my blessings are our blessings. Or they ought to be. This reminds us in the way Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father. Right at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we remember we are part of a body. We are part of a people. Jesus didn't teach you to pray, my Father. And then you remember the petition later on, give me this day my daily bread? No, give us this day our daily bread. There's a corporate sense to it, a corporate sense that we ought to remember. We are never to forget our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we must always remember the purposes of God involve more people than just me. And so here, this corporate nature is important to remember. You know, as we think of the connection in the similar language to the Lord's Prayer, past generations of Christians called Psalm 67 the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. And the more that you study Psalm 67 and think about it, the more parallels you see to the Lord's Prayer. They called it the Pater Noster of the Old Testament, the Our Father of the Old Testament, the Lord's Prayer of the Old Testament. And we'll see that as well a little bit later on, the connection there. And so there's the corporate sense. But notice also that the psalm begins when it speaks about blessing. May God be gracious to us and bless us. The word there is to have mercy or pity upon us. And we're always helped to remember that the source and the spring of all blessing to us is the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. That if God blesses someone, it's always out of His grace and out of His mercy. We deserve nothing from Him as the children of Adam. Listen to how Daniel prays in Daniel chapter 9. O my God, incline your ear and hear me. Open your eyes and see. For we do not present our requests before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. That's the claim. If we have a claim in any sense upon God, we claim His mercy. Well, the Pharisee stood before God and prayed about himself. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men. But the man who stood afar off and beat his breast and prayed, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner, was the man who went home justified. The only claim we have upon God is His mercy. And any blessing that comes to you or comes to me is because God is merciful and because God is gracious. May God be gracious to us. That's the prayer for the worst sinner and the best saint. We all still need the grace of God. But it's a prayer for blessing. May He bless us. And that's a comprehensive way of speaking, an all-inclusive way of speaking of the desire that God would give us what is good. Bless us. Bless us. The blessing of God is the greatest gift. Sometimes people use that word bless very flippantly. So someone sneezes and you say, bless you. Without even thinking about it. But the blessing of God is the greatest gift of God. It's not to be used flippantly. When we say bless you, it's not that we shouldn't say it, but we should mean it. We should think about it. But we do want people to be blessed. We do want them to know the good favor of God, to know the good gifts of God. Bless you. What is that blessing here in particular? And make His face shine upon us. Here is the summary, the heart of God blessing His people, to make His face shine upon us. It goes back to Numbers chapter 6. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance, that's another word for face, upon you and give you peace. This is the great blessing, face-to-face fellowship and communion with God. No shame, no hostility, no enmity. God's face shining upon His people. Now, of course, boys and girls, God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like men. The face of God is not a physical reality, but it's a way of speaking of a spiritual reality, a relational way of speaking. The blessing of God comes when His face shines upon us. When His face is not dark toward us with wrath and anger. When His face is not turned away from us in forsakenness, but when it is toward us and when it is shining upon us illuminated with his pleasure and his approval and his acceptance. That's the blessing. And of course, when we think of blessing, the blessing of God connected with his face shining upon us, we have to have our thoughts go to the cross and go to Calvary, because of those dark hours on the cross when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what the physical darkness represented. God's face no longer shining upon his son, but looking in wrath upon his son, turned away from his son in forsakenness. But Jesus did that and endured that for us and for our salvation, so that the face of God, which was rightly toward us in wrath and rightly to forsake us in our sin and rebellion, is because of Christ and through faith in Christ turned toward us and shining upon us in love and acceptance. So that God says to believers, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That's the blessing of God, that his face would shine upon us. And that's the blessing that we need mingled with all of our other blessings. Because you can have everything else in the world, and if you don't have the blessing of God with those blessings, they are not ultimately blessings to you. They will only be greater judgment against you. And God would say, look at all the things that I still gave you, and you still turned away from me. You still rejected the greatest gift I gave, the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings of this life are like dross and dung. That's the way that Paul speaks. He considered them dung, rubbish, compared to the knowledge of Christ, to knowing Christ, to having that face-to-face relationship with God through faith in Christ. And so we see these profound truths in this verse, in this prayer for blessing. But as we come to verse 2, and this is our particular focus tonight, why does God bless us? What is the purpose of his face shining upon us and giving us blessings of all kinds? Well, verse 2 is the answer, at least in part, to that question. Why blessing? Well, what does it say? That your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. That your ways may be known. The ways of God are his commandments. The direction, the Hebrew word Torah just means direction, the way that you should go. So the ways of God are his paths, his commandments, his laws. That these things would be proclaimed in the world. The Psalms speak over and over of the blessing it is to have the law of God, the word of God, as a lamp and a light in our lives. But the law alone, if that's all that was made known, that your ways would be known upon the earth, if that was all that was made known, though the law of God and the ways of God are good in and of themselves, that would just leave man convicted and judged. If God's ways are made known in the earth, well, here are his ways. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way of God. If that's all that's made known, where does that leave us? Where does it leave you and where does it leave me? It leaves me condemned because I don't do that. I've never done that. Perfectly. Have I? Have you? And so, yes, the law of God is to be proclaimed in the world, the ways of God, because they're right and good and true. But then what does it say? And your salvation among the nations. The law and the gospel. the law and the gospel, that your salvation would be known among the nations. You know, the Hebrew word here for salvation is the Hebrew word Yeshua. Yeshua. And even as you say that, boys and girls, you may say, hey, that sounds like something, another name that I know. Yeshua is the Hebrew name of Jesus. Yeshua is Jesus. Because Jesus' name means salvation. Name him Jesus because he is the one who will save his people from their sins. So you could read it that way. And then you see the gospel here in this verse, that your ways may be known on the earth, your Jesus among all the nations. Isn't that beautiful? Your Christ, the anointed one, Jesus, your Jesus among all the nations. That's the gospel good news. That God desires to be proclaimed, preach the gospel to all creatures, to all nations. But see the point and see the connection to blessing. We are blessed so that the ways of God and so that the Son of God would be known among all the nations, that the law and the gospel of Holy Scripture would be proclaimed among all the nations. We are blessed so that Jesus would be more and more known in the world. That's the real connection, isn't it, between God's ways being known on the earth and the salvation among all the nations? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the end result, we see in verse 3, when the law goes out into the world and people are convicted of their sin, but then by God's grace they see God's remedy for sin in Christ. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. What's the result? Worship. It's worship. That people would be saved and turn from the worship of idols to the worship of the true and living God. The end result is the worship of God, and from all the nations. As God said to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so here in Psalm 67, that all the nations would be blessed. And we see at Pentecost, all the nations coming and hearing the gospel in their own language, and then the apostles being sent out to all the nations. That over the whole earth, among all peoples, God would be worshipped. And in the Revelation, John says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. That's the fulfillment of this prayer and prophecy in eternal glory. People from every tribe and tongue and nation who know the ways of the Lord and who know Jesus as their Savior. Worship. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's why people are saved. To worship. To become worshipers of God. John Piper, who's written a lot about missions, said once, missions exists because worship doesn't. Missions exist because worship doesn't. The Christian church sends people out. We go out into the world. We go out into our communities, the people around us, so that God would be worshipped where he isn't presently being worshipped. Your neighbor lives beside you, and in their home, there is no worship of God. That's true of many of us. So when we speak to our neighbor, when we are praying for our neighbors, we pray that one day where there was not worship of God, there would be. In the name of Jesus Christ, that there would be worship of the true and living God. That's the great end and goal, the glory of God in his worship. And you see, when God blesses a person, when he blesses a people, those blessings are used by God. They're used by God when people see the people of God being blessed, and they're compelled to ask the reason for the hope that lies within us. How do you live? Look at the blessing you have. Even in difficult circumstances, you have a blessed life. And when Christians use the blessings that we've received, then God uses blessing, you see, to bless others. So here's the question. Here's the question, to bring it all together and to put a practical point on it. How do you think about God's blessings in your life? We should think about them. We don't probably think about them enough. But how do you think about God's blessing in your life? The things that you receive from God in your life. Blessings of all kinds. How do you think about those things? Many people, even Christians, I think sometimes, remind me of the seagulls in Finding Nemo, who just cry out constantly, mine, 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 mine. And we get blessings from God. And we receive those blessings, but as we're receiving them, on some level, we're just thinking, mine, mine, mine. My blessing. Is that the way we're thinking? Or do we see our blessings as blessings, gifts of God's grace and mercy given to us in order to be used for the blessing of others? This is the logic here. This is the rationale, the connection between verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known in the earth and your salvation among all nations. We receive blessing to be used for blessing. Martin Luther, boys and girls, said that God, when he created man, divided man's hand into fingers so that money could more easily pass through them. That we wouldn't be just holding on to everything that we've been given, but that things would flow from us as they flowed to us. Blessings of all kinds, our resources, whatever those might be, our time, just being present with others, our talents, whatever it is, given to the church so that, as Jesus taught us to pray, God's kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we pray for blessing, as we experience blessing, in light of verse 2, we need to be people who are praying and thinking, how can we then be a blessing to those around us? How can we bless others? How can we bless, just some very practical application, how can we bless other congregations who are in the world in order that the ways of the Lord may be known and his salvation, his Savior, his Jesus among all the nations? We have been very blessed as a congregation. How can we bless the congregation in Calgary that's just starting out? We just started out once, 17 and a half years ago, and there were many people that blessed us, so that the gospel could be proclaimed, the law and the gospel of God could be proclaimed in this community. And we've received many blessings. What are we going to do? Hang on to them all? Or are we going to see how we can bless somewhere else so that the ways of God may be known on earth and his salvation among all the nations? The congregation in Cuba, we've been blessed to be a blessing, to think of ways to bless those people there in that land where it's not easy to be a Christian. Sudan, Scotland, all these, any missions that we support, and you support some probably personally and privately that I don't even know about. But that's what's to be happening. God, be gracious to us and bless us, that your ways may be known on the earth and your salvation among all nations. This is an encouragement for us to think outwardly in terms of the blessings that we've received. And that should be enough. That should be enough just to say, Lord, I can be a blessing to someone else. When I think of how blessed I am, and I can be used to be a blessing to someone else, that should be enough. Sadly, it's often not enough. But you know, God knows how much we need to be encouraged. And so he not only says this in other parts of the world, he says, be a blessing to others. And you know what? You'll be blessed back. God even uses the motivation of self-interest in our lives to help us to think and live the way we should. The man who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. God uses the motive of self-interest to get us to think about others. It's really quite something. You know, many have seen an object lesson in even the geography, the physical geography of the land of Israel. In the land of Israel, if you look at a map in the back of your Bibles, there are lots of maps, you'll see that on the eastern edge of the land of Israel, there are two lakes, two seas. Sometimes they're called seas. There are two lakes. One is bigger, one is small and round, one is long and narrow. Boys, girls, you look at a map sometime and you'll see them. And in between is the river, a Jordan River, that runs there and other rivers flow into it. One of those lakes, one of those seas, is fresh and teeming with life of all kinds, fish and birds and all kinds of things. That's the Sea of Galilee. The other sea is quite different. It's sometimes called the Salt Sea, but it's more commonly known by another name, the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. One geographer wrote an article about it and said, why is it, the Dead Sea, so salty? It has a super high salt content. You can lay in the Dead Sea and just float on the top because it is so dense with salt. And then they said the Dead Sea is continually fed from the rivers and streams coming down off the mountains that surround it. But the significant factor is this. No rivers drain out of the Dead Sea. And then that geographer wrote a sentence that preaches itself. The Dead Sea receives, but it does not give. The Dead Sea receives, but it does not give. What happens when a body of water receives but doesn't give? When things flow in but nothing flows out, it becomes stagnant. It becomes poisoned. It becomes lifeless. And what happens to a sea can happen to a soul as well. The Dead Sea receives but does not give. Are you a Christian who has received but does not give? For the blessing of others, for your own blessing. Paul says in Acts 20, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work that we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We receive blessings, we should give blessings, but when you give blessings, you receive blessings. And on it goes. Paul says, remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Beloved, as we pray for the blessing of God in our lives, Lord, bless us. Lord, bless me. Let us remember that God has a purpose for those whom he blesses. The church's highest activity is worship. But we will do that in heaven. Why does the church remain in the world? We remain in the world as salt and light, that the world would see our lives and praise our Father in heaven. We are here to reach and then to teach. This is our great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Beloved, the blessings of God in our lives are the means to that great end. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy.